There we go. So I spoke with Jane this morning, and we connect up, especially when one of us is away, especially on Sundays, because we love so much our co-ministry, doing ministry together. And part of what we love about it is that we can each be ourselves, and sort of together we create this kind of dynamic duo. I mean, that's my experience of it anyway. And in some ways, people have characterized our co-ministry as good cop, bad cop. I'll let you decide which one is which. Sometimes we commonly say that, one of us is here to comfort the afflicted, and then the other is, to afflict the comfortable, of course. Anyway, when we talk about ministry, she'll ask me, "Well, what are you going to talk about today?" And I say, "Well, I don't know yet." That was about a half hour ago. Anyway, she said, "Well, why don't you talk about quantum Jesus?" Everybody thought that was a great topic, and so okay, we'll talk a little bit about quantum Jesus. We do FaceTime, and so she. Like this in the background. I go, "What are you doing?" And she says, "I'm writing the first chapter of your book." "Well, what's my book called?" And she said, "Well, Quantum Jesus, of course." Okay, all right. So anyway, she sends her love, and I feel her presence with me. And a part of co-ministry is really about seeing that our partnership with you as our spiritual community is that somehow together we midwife into our experience a greater expression of who and what we've come here to be. And so in order to do that, we have to engage transformational teachings, because that's what shifts our consciousness and helps us create a different reality. I mean, that makes perfect sense, right? And so our focus needs to be looking at the things that transform our lives, getting us to really examine how our thoughts and our beliefs and our state of being, how they contribute to the life that is being created. And it's up to us to become conscious and intentional and awake in the midst of all the stuff that's happening in our world today. And so today's talk is wax on, wax off. I bet you don't know what it's about. What do you think it's about? Wax? Yeah, it's about wax. It's about washing cars and then waxing them over and over and over and over again. So this is really about spiritual practice. And so it's important for us to talk about spiritual practice, because it's important for us to see that absent of practicing an intentional process of awakening to that dimension of ourselves that is infinite and eternal and is, as Jesus described, aligned with creation so far as "know ye not that ye are gods," I mean, conveying the sense that we're capable of magnificence beyond our imagination, but we seem to be kind of trapped in a human experience that is in complete denial about the abundant life that Jesus proclaimed was ours, already given. And so as we look at this dynamic, this principle that the abundant life, that the sense that at the depths of our being, no matter what we're having as our outer experience, we can feel an innate sense of meaning and purpose and capacity to make a difference, that no outer circumstances has the power to diminish us. That's the abundant life that's already been given. But the problem is that we don't have access to that. That we set ourselves apart from that. Not intentionally, of course, but by virtue of identifying so completely with an outer an effect or experience as if that's the reality that we have in our life, when that's simply an effect of our personal consciousness, our personal reality creating the experience that we have. And if it's less than a sense that it's abundant or if it's less than a sense, it's unlimited. If it's less than the sense that it is empowering, then there's something in the way of it. We're focused on the wrong thing. We're not accessing that dimensional place that is immaterial. It's incorporeal. It is not out there. And Jesus is trying to point the way to it. And Jane and I figure, well, if we start talking about quantum science and brain research and link that to spiritual principles and then examine the life and teachings of Jesus, we will find that he is talking about something totally different than what, when we look through a religious filter, might reveal. Something else is going on. Are you with me?
Yes.
You want to go there?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so got a movie, got a lights got to go down, and we got to make sure the sound works because we want to look at what's in the way now of our opening to this energetic dimensional place called the abundant life or the kingdom of God or a few other terms. Here we go.
So if you wake up in the morning and you get out of bed on the same exact side as you did the day before, you shut the alarm clock off with the same finger, you slip into your favorite slippers, you shuffle into the bathroom and you use the toilet like you always do, then you walk over to the mirror and you look at yourself to remember who you are, then you get into the shower and you wash yourself in the same routine way, then you groom yourself to look like everybody expects you to look, then you go downstairs and you drink coffee out of your favorite mug. Then you drive to work the same way as you did the day before. You see the same people that push the same emotional buttons. You do the exact thing that you know how to do and you memorize and can do so well that you're an expert at. Then you hurry up and rush home so you can hurry up and check your emails, so you could hurry up and go to bed, so you can hurry up and do it all over again. Now, here's my question. Did your brain change at all that day? We could say that you were thinking the same thoughts, performing the same actions that create the same experiences that produce the same emotions, but secretly expecting something to change in your life. Would you agree? So then, as the environment turns on different circuits in your brain, you begin to think equal to your environment. As you see the same people and go to the same places and do the same things at the same time, it's the external environment that's turning on different circuits in your brain, causing you to think equal to everything that you know. And as long as you think equal to everything that's familiar or known to you, what do you keep creating more of?
The same.
Same life. Now, the quantum law is still applying to you. You're just thinking equal to everything that you know, and you keep creating more of the same. To change. To truly change is to think greater than your environment. And every great person in history knew this.
Okay. Lights. So he ends by saying thinking greater than our environment. That means that we have to bring something bigger than what we're having to define us. In the sense that we can't let the situation or our life experience define us, but we have to bring something bigger that defines what we're having as opposed to what we're having defining us. Can you see the difference? Okay, so part of the challenge is that if we are not in the practice of having dominion over our states, in other words, determining how we're going to be with whatever's happening as opposed to whatever's happening, determine how we're going to feel within ourselves, that's backwards. So to flip it, and that's what we have to do, is we have to flip it. We have to work with the whole dynamic that is creating this personal reality. So part of that dynamic is the fact that we bring our same self to every single moment and expect something different to happen. As Dr. Joe says, is that we wake up in the morning and basically we reboot the very mechanism that organizes and collapses the field of infinite possibilities into the finite signature called our personal reality or our personality. We do that. And that becomes a veil that is superimposed upon what otherwise is a field that Jesus describes as the abundant life. We superimpose on top of that a focus, an outer-directed, a sourcing of our well-being and our discomfort in the arena external to us. That's the problem. We have to fix that. We have to fix sourcing our well-being and worth in external circumstances, sourcing our discomfort in external conditions. We have to fix that and resource those things, our well-being and worth, as well as our discomfort within ourselves. In addition to that, we have to have a capacity to self-regulate how we're going to be in the moment, as opposed to being driven by how our life looks and feels. Those aren't capabilities that the world teaches. But we're going to have to acquire those, what could be described as superpowers. And they're not something that is so difficult to acquire. It just requires practice. Now, how many of you have any degree of experience in mastering some form of art? Raise your hand. Whether it be musical or dance or in some arena, you know that there's a path to mastery that translates into the capacity that is what your art is all about, right? And yet we have, in our modern society, conditioned ourselves out of the kind of lineage process of being cultivated, mentored, trained, led into, initiated in a process by which we emerge into a greater expression of our wholeness and worth. Instead, we want to take a pill, or we want something now to make it all better. And therefore, if anything takes effort, it goes way, way down on the bottom of our list of things we're going to try first. Way up on the top is worry, worry, worry. Way on the bottom is actually taking ownership and responsibility, you see. We have to fix that. No power in the universe is going to fix that. No prayer to God is going to fix it. The only thing that's going to fix it is our intent, our conscious effort to enter into an intentional, consistent, aware, awake process of practicing what we're wanting to experience in the outer. We have to practice inhabiting the state of consciousness and being and thought and feeling that embodies, inhabits the state that we're wanting to experience, because it happens from the inside out, not the outside in. So Jesus' whole ministry of trying to convince his disciples, of trying to give the disciples a glimpse with respect to the power that this experience of connecting to the abundant field that Jesus describes is in effect the effort that we're experiencing in our work today, is because we are so drawn to how our life looks and feels as if that's what's really going on. In other words, the form, the experience that life takes on seems to be more real than the field from which it arises. The field from which our life experience arises is where we need to be interacting. But in order to do that, we have to be able to resolve whatever dynamic is sucking our energy out into the form and recover it so that we invest our energy in the field. Now, that might not make much sense just yet, but that's why we do these series, because it takes some explanation to have all the information that is important for us to be able to see, I see this now, and therefore the practice makes sense. So, we must become greater than our situation. We must have dominion over our states of being. We have to be able to not only be at a place where no one has the power to make me mad or sad. In other words, have you ever said, You know, have you ever had the experience of someone making you a certain way or making you upset or angry or happy or sad? The point is that it's not going to be a part of our experience anymore. To the degree that we give away our sense of well-being, our sense of dominion to the outer experience is the degree that we're caught up in the illusion. There's a story. This whole idea of dominion over one's state is really important. There's a wonderful story that's in my book, The Eye of the Storm. It's about this monk who was revered and was the center of this small village. And there was rumored that Khan, a Mongol warrior, was in rampage all over the countryside. And they pleaded for this beloved teacher to find safety and to abandon the village because this person was pillaging everything. And so he said, "No, I'm hanging out here. I'm cool. I'm fine." And then meantime, here comes Khan with his army and his pillaging, and he finds the defiant monk sitting in the town square in meditation. And he comes up to him and says, "Do you not know who I am?" And the monk just bows, and then he says, "Do you not know that I can run you through without even blinking an eye?" And then the monk said, "And kind sir, do you know that I can be run through without even blinking an eye?" And the warrior became his disciple in that moment. The idea of being able to have the capacity to determine how I'm going to be or how you're going to be is a power, is a gift that is not impossible to acquire. It just requires practice. So we have to learn how to shift our focus from the form to the field. So you'll be hearing Jane and I talk about this concept. But let us just, for the purpose of our conversation, we need to get to a spiritual practice here somewhere in this talk. let us just say that for now, let us just say the field is not visible. It's the field of infinite possibilities. It's the quantum field. It's the field where anything that's material arises. It's the energy. It's the wave. And the form or the experience of situations and circumstances are the forms, the things, the stuff in life. They arise from the field, but they arise in the context of many different factors. And so we're wanting to optimize our capacity to work in the arena of the invisible quantum realm. And why? Because this is where reality gets created at this fundamental level. And so we're going to want to learn what the mystics and now the quantum scientists are understanding. We want to not live in isolation of the science and what's available to help us understand what we're working with. This is a very complex, marvelous, wondrous entity, spacesuit that we are living in. And we want to appreciate it and know all of its resources as well as all of its limitations. So we have a movie now, and it's from The Karate Kid, and it goes to an important point, the distinction between a spiritual practice that's focused on the form or the circumstance in your life and a spiritual practice that's focused on the field, working in the field. So see if you can detect the difference and see if you can sense the advantage.
Yeah, you karate do yes or karate do no. You karate do gesso, quick, just like grip. Understand?
Yeah, I understand.
Now ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yes. Let's make sacred pact. I promise teach karate. That's my part. You promise learn. I say you do. No question. That's your part. Deal?
Steal?
Yes. First wash all the car, then wax.
Wait, what do I have to wash all the car?
Remember, deal. No question.
Yeah, but
right. Wax on, right hand. Wax off, left hand. Wax on, wax off. Breathe in through nose, out the mouth. Wax on, wax off. Don't forget to breathe. Very important.
Bongos? I got it. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
Ah, don't you say, you much
humor. What are these?
Japanese sanda.
What do you do with them?
Funny you should ask. Right the circle. Left the circle.
Wait, wouldn't it be easier going back and forth?
But you go circle. Right the circle. Left the circle. Right the circle. Left the circle. Breathe in, breathe out. Right the circle. Left the circle. Right the circle. Breathe in.
Now, yeah, I guess that means I could accomplish anything. I'm Mr. Miyagi.
Right.
No sweat.
At first, you accomplish pain defense. Okay? All in the wrist. Wrist. Up. In. Down. In. Wrist, all in the wrist, up, down, long stroke, bend the wrist, down stroke, you bend, good, long stroke, up, very good, and your son, don't forget to breathe, in, out, up, down, wrist, up, down, up.
Damn it! Can't believe it! Wax on, wax off.
Wax on, wax off. Hey, wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Concentrate. Look in my eye. Lock a hand. Thumb inside. Wax on, hat. Wax off. Wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Wax on. Wax off.
Yes! Ah, Scott!
Okay. So Mr. Miyagi's approach with Daniel is not just to teach him karate, right? It's to help train him in a specific way. And so what's happening first is that Daniel is having his body learn what it feels like to be able to use these techniques. And so he practices things and he conditions his body. He's not doing this in the context of defending himself. And if you're familiar with the story, the way the story is helps us understand the strategy behind Mr. Miyagi's teaching, in that he's being bullied, and so he's wanting to learn karate to be able to defend himself. So his motivation is self-protection. And so typically when we're engaged in our own journey and we think, oh, maybe spiritual practice is something I should try. You know, it's often the context of, you know, we're trying to recover from something. So, oh, I should be doing this, I guess. Okay, so what should I do? How long should I do it for? And when will it be over? And what will be the benefit of this? So, you know, we do a return on investment quickly before we even decide whether or not we're going to, you know, engage it. And so Mr. Miyagi knows that Daniel's looking for something to kind of empower him to be able to manage his life in a better way, but Mr. Miyagi knows that's no way to learn how to work these principles, not in the context of having to protect yourself, but in the context of living your life. knowing that in the full abundant life that there is all the things that we have need of, you know, are part of us. So this whole idea of the field, as we begin to acclimate to this, is not something out there. The field is an energetic field within me, a potentiality that is channeled through the dynamic of what mechanism is a part of manifesting our reality. And so part of understanding the whole dynamic is to understand that in order for us to have a new reality, a greater reality, a reality consistent with an image or a vision of a greater good, we have to alter the neural pathways that are conditioning our body to live by the hormones of stress or to live by the impulses of what's happening in the outer. We have to recondition that whole process in order for us to set how we're going to be with whatever we're having. And in order for us for that to happen, we have to create the brain map for that to take place. Now, this is not bad news. It helps inform our practice. Our spiritual practice has to be working in such a way that it reconditions our body so that in turn reshapes our neural architecture so we have a different brain map that causes us to take in our reality in a different context, and therefore the observer effect happening differently in our life. So the observer effect is a quantum principle. Here's a picture of an astronaut, and if you've come to the Q Process workshop, you might have seen this slide. And we use this slide to make the point that in this picture, this is a NASA astronaut in the pre-early days of the NASA program, wanting to put astronauts through the rigors of outer space, forced them to wear these concave goggles, which caused the image to flip upside down. So they had to wear these things 24 hours of the day because, you know, in your outer space, you know, there's no top, there's no bottom. So you have to get used to this sort of thing. But the point is, they had to put on their clothes, they had to eat, everything was upside down, so you can imagine the challenge of that. And then they discovered about the 20th, 21st, 22nd day, guess what? The brain flipped the image. All of a sudden, the brain decided, okay, this isn't working, let's flip this image, because this is the new context, this is the new, this is the new program that's coming online. Now, when the next wave of astronauts went through, they did the same thing. But this time, about the 16th day, the 17th day, the 18th day, they took off the glasses and let them rest for an hour. Put them back on, and guess what? They had to go a consistent 20, 21, 22 days before their brain would flip it. They just couldn't give it a try and then go back and then give it a try. Does that sound like any familiar thing that you've ever done before? Give something a good try, then skip a day, get back into it, then skip a day. So as far as the brain is concerned, as far as the little puppy dog in us that's concerned, you know, that means that we don't have to always pee on the paper. It means that we can take some slack. We can cut ourselves a break. But the point is that when it comes to retraining our brain, we have to become a martial artist. And in a sense, that's my background, in a sense of going into a mode of training. I'm going to go into a mode of training where I'm going to intentionally fence off all the cares of my world so that I can do this until my brain flips this, because that's what it's going to take. And so if, as Jesus says, the eye is the lamp of the body, and if our perception and meaning-making contribute towards how we're creating and constructing our own personal reality. And if that mechanism of observation is indeed connected to informing the field what we want to experience, independent of whether or not it's desired. In other words, there's some unconscious practicing going on. You see, right? There's unconscious practicing that's informing our life and our how we collapse the field of infinite possibilities. And so to the degree that there are still unconscious beliefs that are running us is the degree that we have to make conscious our practice of how we're going to be with what we're having. Okay, now I'm going to have to wrap this thing up. And just so you know that the eye is not the lamp of the body, it's the I am that is the lamp of the body, and that your personality informs the observer effect. In other words, your sense of I am determines how this field, how this abundant life collapses into whatever is the experience that you're having. Your sense of I am is what brings all of this into the very experience that you have. And the question is your I am linked to a sense of more than enough, or is your I am linked to a sense of not enough or insufficiency or unworthiness or not good enough, or there's something wrong with me, or I don't measure up, or life's against me? So we have to own reforming how we make meaning and how we see and bear witness. It's not what we see, it's from where we see that is the issue in our life. I'm working towards the last slide, I promise. Okay, so many of you have been through the Q process, the Q effect, and part of what Jane and I have talked about is that in so many ways we're going to be rebooting this system, because in so many ways it can expedite our journey. And you probably have seen this before. It's hanging up on our wall right over there. That's the actual Q card of this church. And guess where I found that? I just Googled the Q effect, and the church's Q card came up. And so this was a card that was created 2 years ago when Jay and I first came here. And those of you who have been through the Q process have done an exercise called Who Have I Come Here to Be? And you've done this exercise and developed qualities of being that you're here to express and to be. And so another way of looking at spiritual practice is to look at those parts of ourself that aren't serving us and try to free them. And so sometimes we are stuck with character defects because we have a lot of resistance, and therefore they stick. And so for those of you who are familiar with the Q process, you're familiar with this particular exercise. Now, those of you who aren't familiar with the Q process, not to worry, because we'll have one soon, another workshop. But you know how in the Q process where we ask you the question, come up with a list of 6 or 7 individuals that you admire, and then write the qualities or attributes that you see in them that you want for yourself. Remember that part of it? Well, what if we were to do the exercise differently? What if we were to do it this way? Make a short list of people that bother you or otherwise piss you off. Besides each person you have identified, come up with 3 qualities or attributes that you find offensive. And how do these very same behaviors or qualities show up in your life? When have you been controlling, judgmental, negative, etc.? Take some time to forgive this within yourself and share this experience with a partner. So the point is that it doesn't matter what you practice. You just have to take a transformational practice and work it for 21 days. You can take the Q process, you can take the to-done list, you can take rewriting your story, you can take mind movies, you can take gratitude journal, you can take meditation, you can take the healing codes, you can take all the things that we've been talking about for the last 2 years and just do one thing for 21 days. Give yourself the experience of what it's like to go into training and to develop a superpower that will serve you the rest of your life, and to be able to begin to disarm this world's so sensitivity to how everything looks and feels. Let's be a community that is not mess withable. I would say it a different way, but that's the only way I can say it and not offend anybody. Let's become unmess withable. God bless you. Thank you.